Powered by volunteer community involvement, this is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
I'm the programming coordinator at Cinematech. We acknowledge that the Cinematech resides on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and is the homeland of the Métis Nation. We are privileged to be able to live, work, and play on this land. Tonight, we are joined by author and co-host of the Faculty of Horror, Alexandra West, for a discussion and Q&A on the New French Extremity and the genre's lasting impact and importance on the cultural landscape. Hi, Alex. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here in my apartment in Toronto. I use my spooky lighting for tonight, so.
This is just a brief intro for our guest. Alexandra West is the author of Films of the New French Extremity, Visceral Horror and National Identity. The book examines the horror of the cult subgenre and looks at films such as Irreversible, High Tension, Martyrs, and Baisemois. Alexandra's writing has been published in Rue Morgue, Art of the Title, Scared Sacred, and Offscreen Film Journal, among others. She has co-hosted the Faculty of Horror podcast since its inception in 2012 with Andrea Subisati. All right, so I'll just pass things over to Alex.
All right. So hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for watching me. I wish I could be there in person to do this, but I'm so grateful that the Winnipeg Cinematech and Olivia asked me to be part of this. Just in case she starts moving, I'm just going to acknowledge that little lump there is my cat, Church. So get bored or upset of all of the things I'm about to talk about, just watch her. She's super cute. So what I wanted to do today in this talk is, as I was thinking about what would make the most sense, what would be the most useful, because I'm not there, I can't talk to you all in the lobby or afterwards, but I kind of figured there'd be two sides to the coin tonight. Either you are coming to this series and you don't really know much about New French Extremity, this is all kind of new to you, you think it sounds interesting or maybe even cool, or other side of the coin, you might be really familiar with the genre or have at least seen a few films, you've got a sense of it, you know what it's about. So I tried today to put together a presentation that would function as either an introduction to New French Extremity or something that might help illuminate a couple ongoing themes, a lot of stuff that I discovered when I was researching it and writing my book, that as you go through the screenings at the Cinematech might help illuminate some things for you. So hopefully that's what we find today. And let's get into it. So there we go. So New French Extremity. New French Extremity is, it's kind of one of those things that, like, once you see it, you know exactly what it is. But I decided I'll write a book about it. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about it. I spent a lot of time being asked about it. These are films that are so subversive that, like, every taboo you can imagine, they not only address, but they, like, do close-up shots on it. They are basically, it's like they reach through this film screen and just try to, like, shake you. And to me, what I find to be one of the many very interesting things about them is they deal with the darkest parts of humanity, the trickiest parts of ourselves, the stuff that we're like, I don't want to talk about this, or that feels weird and uncomfortable. They're going to put a camera on it. They center so many different things in different ways. And that's everything from racism to xenophobia, homophobia, sexual assault, and obsessive love. These films, as I have here, they are not Amelie or Chocolat from Midnight in Paris. They are deeply French, but not in the way that the French Tourism Board would be comfortable with. I want to talk and open up the discussion with a little bit about James Quant, who is a film writer and historian and programmer, and he is what I like to call New French Extremity's absentee father. He wrote an article in the magazine Film or Art Forum back in 2004, and it was in response to the kind of early wave of New French Extremity. And I pegged New French Extremity at starting, 98, 99 to about 2009. So we've got an intense 10 years in there. And the first real half of it, as we'll talk about, was really dominated by art house auteur directors. And James Quant was writing this article in response to a few films that he'd seen, a few films like Catherine Deneuve, some of her newer films, as well as like Catherine Burleigh. And then he really focused in on this filmmaker, Bruno Dumont, and his film 29 Palms. Bruno Dumont had made films before this. Previous, he made L'Humanité, which I also write about in the book. I think it's part of New French Extremity, but it's less upsetting than 29 Palms. I've seen a lot of horror films. I have never been more upset after a film than when I saw 29 Palms. And so he writes of New French Extremity, this recent tendency to the willfully transgressive, determined to break every taboo, to wade in rivers of viscera and spumes of sperm, to fill each frame with flesh, nubile or gnarled, and subject it to all manner of penetration, mutilation, and defilement. So clearly, James Quant has a problem with New French Extremity. He is taking issue with these directors, with these auteurs who he deems to be kind of great and kind of above doing this kind of stuff. And he's questioning, why are they doing it? Why is this so, in our face and so upsetting? And then James Quant came back to the table of conversation back in 2011. It was for this book right here. The title is The New Extremism in Cinema from France to Europe, edited by Tanya Horak and Tina Kendall. And it's a collection of essays, very good book. And he writes the afterwards for it. And instead of when you go through movements and you see stuff and things have time to breathe, and then you kind of go, oh, actually I see some merit in it. He's like, that's not, James Quant is not about that. He is just doubling down on being like, this was a thing. It was a bigger thing than I thought it would be. And I don't understand why. And I'm still uncomfortable with it. That's me paraphrasing. But essentially, that's what I take away from his afterwards. And he poses this question that in some ways, I think we're going to try and answer tonight. Or I'll give you at least some framework with, which to start thinking about it. And in this afterword, he says, can one really claim that irreversible marks any kind of advance, aesthetic, political, social, or sexual? And he's asking that rhetorically, and he's, being a little bit of a dick about it. It's like any film writer, they can be great writers, but when they don't like something, it's a bit of a you are uncomfortable writing about this, sir. But let's take this question as it's written and see what we can come up with. Of course, Irreversible is Gaspar Noé's 2002 film. It's a film told in reverse that begins in violence and bloodshed, then goes to a brutal rape scene. It's about 9 minutes long. And then it's this evening unfolding backwards. And it is, as much as it's a brilliant film, it's a deeply upsetting and unsettling film. And I think you can say that about almost all New French Extremity films. So let's keep that in mind as we go through the next little bit. So I thought I'd kind of take you through a few markers of what I would use to classify New French Extremity. When I look at the films that are in my book, as I was putting the book together, these were a few of the kind of tenets that I was like, okay, let's, put this all together and see where we land. So what makes a New French Extremity film? First one's a little bit of a given. French filmmakers have to be involved, and or it has to be set in France. As I kind of place them, made between the late 1990s and about 2010. There is some inspiration from American New Wave films, which I always think is kind of interesting because, you know, American New Wave takes from French New Wave, and yes, we are all pulling from each other all of the time. And I think the French really take on, in New French Extremity, that kind of visceral violence that American New Wave had. There were a lot of things in American New Wave that felt very unsafe and very new, and it was a lot of filmmakers new and established trying out new things, and that's what I think it kind of brings to New French Extremity. And then I think you have you know, films like Gaspar Noé's earlier film, I Stand Alone, and that to me is just like a kind of updated version of Taxi Driver, and then the film Frontiers, which is basically deeply indebted, intentionally deeply indebted to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and those two films kind of house that American New Wave energy. They, of course, incorporate elements of contemporary politics, most notably French politics. They are tied to French history, sometimes overtly, but more often subtly. And to me, this is a big one. They are films about violence rather than violent films. When I was working and doing a lot of my research and thinking prior to writing the book, I would see things that would sometimes lump in, like New French Extremity with torture porn, and or they'd get kind of mixed in together. And to me, I've watched a lot of torture porn, and it doesn't resonate with me. It's like I can watch it, and some of them I enjoy, but it doesn't stay with me. They feel very transactional. To me, when I watch a torture porn film, I feel like, oh, okay, I'm just watching these sequence of violence, or, you know, things to lead me to a sequence of violence. Whereas I find in New French Extremity, and this, I mean, I think you can ask yourselves as audience members, is what happens around the violence? To me, these films really deal with like the lead ups to, but mainly the aftermath of violence. And they do it all in really different ways, showing the effects, personal, interpersonal, social, political. And it really, you see the ramifications, whether it's a chance encounter or a killing spree. All of these things play out, and they ripple out into society in really different ways. And I think if you, you know, go and you look at the whole kind of New French Extremity oeuvre, there is fascinating ways that each filmmaker deals with this, again, in my opinion. There is, in pretty much all of these films, an intersection of intimate, violent, and romantic relationships. Often all three of those are combined into one relationship. So as you watch these films, I invite you to think about the close relationships that are depicted in the film, and, you know, how you would describe them to anyone. Sometimes they're very hard to describe. And as I've alluded to, they have roots in art house cinema and or the horror genre. And art house cinema, for me, those tend to be films, you know, made outside of big studio systems here in North America. In France, this is obviously a lot more common, as they don't have like the big massive studio system that America does, let's say. And it's very auteur-based, it's very, you know, mini director-driven, the filmmaker, it's all about the vision. And so it becomes very unsettling when you've got these directors, these celebrated directors or new and emerging directors, who are saying really strange, scary things. And then the horror genre, we can, you know, talk briefly about. France doesn't have a huge history of horror, despite a few other elements of their culture that we'll talk about. They, you know, they've got like Les Diaboliques in the 1950s, Eyes Without a Face, that's 1960, the films of Jean Rollet. But outside of that, or, you know, not a lot of horror going on there, but they did start to see a lot of horror, and it was mainly influenced from America. 70s, 80s horror films were really big there, especially within genre scenes. So I'm going to talk kind of through some of my, what I call my three C's. They are three things that I use to, three pieces of framework that I use to approach either a film movement, a director's work. And again, these are kind of questions that will, you know, hopefully you can start thinking through for yourselves and, you know, apply them as you will. So the first C is cultural. What is this piece? What is this film? What is this director responding to? What is happening in the time and place that it is made? The second C is conscious. What are these filmmakers objectively trying to do, stated or inferred, and are they successful? Finally, collective. What was the critical response to this piece? What was the audience reaction, and has it changed over time? You know, and I think, you know, we all, films are deeply subjective. And so I think, you know, when you think through any of these things, you'll always have your own opinion. But I think when we look at films and film movements and their place in history, we have to kind of balance it with other things that are being said about it. And sometimes it's very, very informative. It can really illuminate a lot of things that we maybe hadn't clocked on before. So here, as I kind of mentioned, the art house and horror, we've got a few, I've got kind of a breakdown here very quickly, and I have included all the films in this, but just to give you a sense, this is how I broke it out for myself. So art house, you know, you've got films like Sampler, Pola X, Besmois, Trouble Every Day, Irreversible, In My Skin, 29 Palms. Horror, you know, you've got your High Tension, Calvaire, Chétain, Them, Frontiers, Inside, Martyrs, and The Pack. So I think all of these films constitute, plus some others that I, you know, simply just didn't want to fill up a whole screen with a bunch of names, but I think these films really encapsulate what New French Extremity is. To me, what I find really fascinating is this movement from what I consider to be kind of this art house thriller drama section of what New French Extremity is, and the movement into a pure horror genre. And if you see here, I've put the years next to all the films. And if you look at the, you know, the years, you can kind of see that, you know, art house was really, you know, the late 90s and kind of ran that hard for a few years. And then it starts to kind of peter out around 2003. And in 2003, you've got High Tension. So that kind of very clearly just like picks it up again. And it's like, kind of keeps moving up. And I just find that very interesting. It's like a really great relay race of terrifying films. So I think another basic question we should address and think about is, why France? Why is it the New French Extremity? Why isn't it the New Canadian Extremity? Why isn't it the New Spanish Extremity? What, you know, why? I had already alluded to this book, The New Extremism in Cinema. There are a couple other books like this, and this book and a lot of the others only really deal with those art house films, as I describe them, and don't really get into all the horror ones. But there is a lot of talk about, like, oh, around this time, like, Europe was making a lot of other films, and they were extreme, and that's totally true. There are a lot of other filmmakers at work, like Lars von Trier, Michael Haneke, and others who are making, you know, these kind of radical in-your-face films. However, to me, what is super interesting is the density in France, the sheer number. And again, you see those years in those films. It's a tight timeline of a lot of films getting made. So I thought I'd kind of talk you through a bit about why, you know, through my research, I was like, oh, this is why France was making all these very aggressive, angry, and sad films. You know, they've had a time. France has been a major player on the world stage for centuries. It has had a history of wars, some of the most famous revolutions in histories, and just a lot of general, you know, dissatisfaction, aggressiveness, riots, political scandals, all kinds of shit were happening in France, like all of the time. They did not have like an off period. And of course, there was a lot of into all of those things, the wars, the revolutions, the political scandals. This was all, you know, with built-in institutionalized racism, xenophobia, and anti-Semitism, just to name a few of the main things that kind of, you know, bubbled to the surface. Their history of colonialism. This is, I don't think this often gets talked about enough. I think for a lot of us in Western culture, we are only really starting to grapple with the true after effects of, centuries of colonialism and the horrors of that, with so many things, you know, finally coming to light. And again, France, when they were a superpower, was all about colonizing. And after World War II, if, you know, power diminished and, you know, colonialization wasn't as much of a thing, especially for kind of Western Europe as it once was. And it became a really tricky thing where they were trying to extract themselves out of really aggressive, violent situations that they themselves had created. And it became a really politically tense, politically toxic period. And rather than, you know, name any country and we can probably find examples of it, but rather than actually, you know, sitting and dealing with it, it was just like, no, we didn't do that, don't worry about it. And we're going to talk about that shortly. But another thing that not everyone calls to mind when you think of France is the Nazi occupation during World War II and the collaboration of the Vichy regime with the Nazis. And, you know, France got invaded and they fucking lost. And they, you know, the collaboration and, you know, all of this stuff happened rather quickly. And it lasted for the years of the war. I think the invasion and the Nazi occupation started 41. So that's about 4 years till the end of the war where they were living under occupation. And then when the war ends, when they're liberated, it's a really tricky time because you've got people who are like collaborators and then people who are in the resistance and everything's really messy and no one wants to deal with it. They just want it to go away and they want to forget that it ever happened. So again, we are, you know, Robin Wood, theory of the repressed and horror. We're just pushing everything down, sweeping it under the carpet because no, it will never come back to haunt us. Another thing I think is important to think about with France is they view cinema as art. I did not capitalize that A in art, but they would. You know, they were a huge part of the building of the technology of filmmaking, some of the earliest adopters, and they really take their films with pride. It is, you know, a huge part of their culture. Yes, they make films that are just for entertainment. Yes, they, you know, enjoy North American films, but for them, you know, they are all about creating those kind of cultural staples that people can gather around and say, wow, this is a very important film. And then I think this all kind of culminates in the fact that France, again, if you call it to mind, you know, if you ask someone on the street, what do you think of France? Eiffel Tower, you know, the Palace of Versailles, Marie Antoinette, you know, all of these kind of grand things, these, you know, the Louvre, all of these things that are all about like culture and art. And, you know, they might not, you know, take to mind that, yes, this is a beautiful cultural attraction, beautiful country with a lot of blood on its hands from a lot of different expansive issues. So I want to bring up just another book. This book right here. It's called Fast Cars, Clean Bodies, Decolonization and the Reordering of French Culture by Kristen Ross. This is a fantastic book I found in my research. Highly recommend it if you're interested at all in these topics. But Ross writes extensively about France's need to forget. Especially after World War II and then the process of decolonization. And so here's a quote that from her book that I felt kind of encapsulated a lot of the stuff that France was facing. the speed with which French society was transformed after the war from a rural, empire-oriented Catholic country into a fully industrialized, decolonized, and urban one meant that the things modernization needed burst onto a society that still cherished pre-war outlooks with all the force, excitement, disruption, and horror of the genuinely new. So basically, the leaders in France, the political parties who, you know, obviously were not the Nazis, but came after them, were just, again, we have to wipe this slate clean. We're not going to deal with this. We are going to forget it ever happened. And to do so, they utilize modernization. They, you know, there was a cleanliness to everything. Everything had to be pure and mechanical and industrialized. There's a really interesting part in this book where she talks about washing machines coming to France and what that kind of meant for the French household. Again, it's very fascinating. And that's why I think what we have is, you know, if we look at this France, you know, a few decades before the films of New French Extremity come out, it was about cleanliness and purity. And we didn't do those horrible things. That was someone else. We don't know them anymore. And then you get like the blood and guts and anger and resentment of these films. And it's like all of these things that the generations before were trying to tamp down exploded in this kind of, you know, visceral, uncontrollable way. And so I do want to touch a little bit more about French films, particularly French New Wave and that whole period. And there are kind of, again, there's the big film journal that was popular in the kind of 50s into the 60s, the Cahiers du Cinéma, that was coupled with the French New Wave movement. And, you know, these were films by like really young filmmakers, and they were about the youth. And they were about political upheaval and also what young people were facing. And so they were quite revolutionary in their time and the kind of things that they were saying. Another important thing to remember about these films is that, about this period, was between Cahiers du Cinéma and this French New Wave movement was the advent of the auteur. The filmmaker as author is what it roughly translates into, and that the director is the author of the film. They are, you know, speaking this huge truth, and if it is artful, it should be listened to. It should be celebrated and embraced and, you know, dealt with and wrestled with. And during this period, you know, to the 1960s and obviously well beyond now, we have a huge push of film popularity across the world. Films are becoming much more accessible, a much bigger part of, you know, everyday, weekly life for a lot of people. And in the 1960s, one of the other big mediums that was kind of beginning to compete with film was television. So how the film industry handled it kind of worldwide was they started to play a lot more international films. So you could see a lot of, you know, French New Wave coming over to North America, and, you know, Americans would send, you know, their films over and back. And, you know, so it was a lot of trading even more than had already existed. And so that's where you actually get a lot of these younger filmmakers starting to see a lot of horror films from North America. And just to finish that point is that this was kind of the big calling card of France at the time. They were like, look at these like amazing, super cool, but political films we're making with these like, you know, beautiful people that are beautifully shot, but like interesting and edgy. They were a big cultural calling card for them. So, you know, they did a lot of legwork on selling France as a country. And then finally, I do want to talk about a fella by the name of Antonin Artaud. He was a theater practitioner and a writer and a critic and a very interesting man. He was French and lived in the early part of the 20th century. And he wrote a treatise about theater, which contains several essays. And the treatise, the book of essays, is called Theater and Its Double. And I studied this back in my undergrad and my master's when I was doing theater programs. And I was really taken with his essay called Theater of Cruelty. And so I've called it here Cinema of Cruelty, because as I was watching these films, you know, as I was discovering them and thinking about why France, and I was you know, getting up on my history. And then I was like, oh yeah, our toad was talking about this like for, you know, almost 100 years ago. And basically our toad believed that theater and being confrontational and creating a ritual out of this could actually like destroy barriers in a really good way. They could, you know, rip apart what we see as normal and rational, which was, you know, deeply upsetting to so many people and such a big disservice to so many people, and actually like cause change within our communities and culture by creating things that are challenging. So I've got a quote from him here. A real theatrical experience shakes the calm of the senses, liberates the compressed unconscious, and drives towards a kind of potential revolt. And again, if you have seen some of those films, if some of these new French Extremity films, you might feel, I know I always feel something after I watch them. And if you haven't seen them yet, see how you feel after them, because they definitely generate the strangest energy that I've ever experienced when watching films. And I want to share a couple of filmmaker quotes. So one from Gaspar Noé, and this was taken from when he was doing press for Irreversible, and it, you know, got a lot of hype at Cannes, and it was, you know, kind of generating all this discussion. And Gaspar Noé says, "Violence is in life. It's part of the human experience. I had problems with French film critics because they don't like seeing France portrayed in this way." And to me, that really says so much about a lived experience, about realities. And it's challenging to see hard lived experiences and realities, but we need to do it. That's why cinema is important. It's not only for entertainment, but it's also to challenge us, to challenge the status quo. And unless you show this kind of stuff, I don't think you get there with it. Another quote from one of the filmmakers of Inside, Alexandre Bustillo. I love this quote. "The real life shots of the riots were very important to us because they're the only really violent images in the movie. We hate Sarkozy and his politics. I live in a suburb, one of the biggest in Europe, and when I hear the president insult people who live here, I share that anger." And he was inferring he shares the anger to Sarkozy, not to his neighbors. So I kind of, as we wrap up now, just wanted to bring it back to those three C's and then, you know, one of the questions we asked earlier. So I think culturally, these films address the history France would like to forget. They do it through just confrontation, just shocking images, shocking stories, scary things that happen with them. And they can be really, and what I think is great about them is they're shocking and they're scary, and then they just kind of stay with you. Certainly they stayed with me and other people I know. But again, that visceral quality where you feel like you can't shake it, and then why can't I shake it? And hopefully that, you know, prompts you to better research or look into it or have more conversations about it. I think genre is really important because, you know, the outcry at the art house movement, directors making these really aggressive films, just like Gaspar Noé said in that quote a couple slides ago, that French critics were mad at him because he showed a particular kind of France that he knew, not one that they knew, and that was a problem for them. And so I think in that way, it really challenged this kind of prestige aesthetic within cinema in France for a certain kind of filmmaker. On the flip side of that, as I was mentioning, horror wasn't like big in France. It's not that there aren't horror fans in France, there are lots. But the genre itself, there weren't a lot of French horror films getting made. There are much, you know, more now, and even then, it's still not a whole hell of a lot. Not like we have in, you know, even North America. But what's interesting to me is that for horror genre, filmmakers who were fans were making these films. They're French, made in France, sometimes other places, and then they would find their audiences abroad, not necessarily at home. Some, but not like the big audiences like you know, throughout North America, throughout the west of kind of Western Europe and worldwide, where these films really, really took off. So I find it interesting that, you know, back when I was talking about the 60s and globalization and the French New Wave movement becoming this calling card for French culture through film, this was kind of the inverse, you know, worked a very similar way, but now we have these really violent, scary, upsetting films becoming a calling card for France in the 2000s. And lived experiences. I think lived experiences are so often, I think a bit less now, but it certainly felt that they can be really dismissed. And I think these films really give platform and power to stories we haven't heard from before, not because they don't exist, not because they're not a reality, but because they are uncomfortable truths. One of the things that I asked myself, and because I saw this being asked a lot, and then I get asked this, you know, fairly often, particularly about the film Martyrs. And I don't think this spoils anything, but one of the questions that's most often asked about Martyrs and to a variety of people is, isn't this film misogynist? Because it's, you know, violence against women. And what I have to say to that is, I don't think it is, because violence against women happens every day. Violence against two racialized women happens even, like, it happens, you know, disproportionately so much more to racialized women than it does to white women. And so this is a reality. This is, you know, whether it's a fictional narrative, but it contains some really fucking hard truths. And I don't walk out of Martyrs. I don't, you know, all the times I've watched it, I don't finish it and go, you know, it's cool, violence against women. I'm like, no, it is upsetting and scary and fucking horrifying. And how does this happen? And oh God, oh God. You know, and that is the intent. You know, whereas flip side to that is, you know, during one of our lockdowns here in Ontario, I watched with some friends over Zoom, John Carpenter's Vampires. If you want to see misogyny in film, that film hates women and makes all the cool characters hate women. And they're all like doing horrible things to women and acting like it's cool. That's a misogynist film, in my view. A mix of conscious and unconscious intent. Again, you can look at all these films that have some really overt statements about the politics and the history of France, and some that are more obscure, some, you know, that kind of hint at things. And, you know, then when you scratch the surface, as you kind of peel everything off, you begin to see, like, oh wow, this really does, you know, have the same themes as like a colonial story, or about the violence in World War II, or the Battle of Algiers, you know, all of these things. Like, they're just kind of beneath the surface. And it kind of depends which film you want to take. For instance, Inside, in that quote from Bustillo, one of the things that I think is so brilliant about Inside, outside of it just being an effective, terrifying thriller, is that there is this kind of subplot about riots in the suburbs that were going on, which, you know, was and still is an issue, where they have racialized communities living in the suburbs of Paris, and they have been heavily policed and brutalized, and that this was kind of going on in this, you know, otherwise white lady horror film, I think is really amazing. And I think it, you know, begins that conversation, and it shows a willingness to engage politically and to marry these narratives together, because these aren't separate. All of these things are happening at the same time and coalescing and creating this horror. So some of the reactions to these films, as you can guess, are obviously very concerned about the filmmakers, the people like us who watch them, and oh God, won't someone think of the children? And then just to say one upside is that, again, the horror films haven't always gotten the notoriety that they were once owed. We can, I think maybe now, I think that might, you know, tick over now that Titan has won the Palme d'Or. But they weren't getting, you know, the love that they probably should have in their home country. However, when they would come to like a TIFF Midnight Madness or South by Southwest or, you know, another major film festival or, you know, land in a genre area, they could be celebrated, and they were celebrated. They were put on the cover of genre magazines and had like in-depth features written up about them. And it was a very different experience for them over in North America. And if you do take the time to check out my book, I was very pleased. At the end of it, I have an appendix where I interview Colin Geddes, who was the programmer for Midnight Madness here at TIFF for, oh my gosh, so many years. He only recently stopped, but he was, you know, one of the people who really brought over like High Tension, Calvert, Martyrs, Inside. Like, he got to know all those filmmakers and at Con, and then brought them over to North America for the public, so that the public could see and react to it. And it was a really fascinating interview. And so, yeah, you can read a bit more about that in my book. So those are kind of my three C's and how I think about them. And then I think, just to add on, like, these films all stand individually on their own as interesting, unique films. But when you look at them in concert with each other, they're all speaking to each other in different ways. And, you know, to, you know, have a program like this at the Winnipeg Cinematheque, where you can kind of immerse yourself in these films and the kind of things they're saying, I think is really exciting. And if you can stomach it, I think it's just a fantastic way to experience some really challenging films that are really like cri de coeurs. They are not, you know, causing problems because they think it's, you know, funny and will get them their next filmmaking gig. They're doing it out of necessity because there's things within them and within their country that they're seeing that need to be addressed. So let's go back to New French Extremity's absentee father, James Quant, and his question. Can one really claim that Irreversible marks any kind of advance, aesthetic, political, social, or sexual? So I have a few thoughts on that. Kind of, you know, from putting this all together, I think using our unconscious methods, you know, such as our toad, and the conscious ones, such as personal politics, power of genre, that this group of filmmakers have begun to reveal France as it is not what it aspires to be. And through the mess and the anger, the films of New French Extremity have issued a powerful proposition to us, its audience: engage and be challenged, or look away and repeat history. That's what I got. Merci. I can't see anyone. Olivia, are you just clapping for me?
No, everyone's clapping. Thank you so much. That was so great. Yeah, so I have a couple of questions, and then maybe we can open it up to the audience if anyone has any questions for Alex. So what was your introduction to New French Extremity films? Have you always been a fan of extreme films?
I haven't always been like the biggest fan of extreme films. The first New French Extremity film I saw was High Tension. And that was like shortly after it came out in 2003. And I remember renting it with a friend of mine when we would go to a Blockbuster and rent DVDs. And we watched it, and I just remember being like, that twist. And we were both kind of meh on it. But it stuck with me. Like, it really stuck with me. It just like just festered in my brain for years. And then again, back in probably 2010 or so, I was at yet another video store, rental store here in Toronto. And I was talking to the guy, it was a small independent one. And I was like, oh, I want to try something new. You know, I'm really into horror. And he was like, have you seen Martyrs? And I was like, no, what's that? And he was like, you should rent Martyrs. And I watched Martyrs, and I was sufficiently freaked out. And I went back the next week, and he was like, what'd you think? I was like, wow, that was a lot. I would like more, sir. And he was like, great, we have this movie called Inside. I watched Inside, and it just kind of took out from there. And I just couldn't believe that all of these films were all from the same place, all within the same time period. And then I kind of started piecing it a bit more together. That's when I was really starting to work in the horror genre a bit more as a critic and writer. And I was just like, oh, there is like a whole thing around this. And what does it mean? And it was still like several years before I kind of got into working on it a bit more in depth. But it was something that just intrigued me because these films, like, I couldn't shake them. I watched a lot of movies, a lot of horror movies, and I couldn't get these ones off me. So yeah, I think these feel very unique to me, and I'm not always the biggest fan of extreme films. Like, I was thinking the other night, I haven't seen a Serbian film, which I hear is like the most extreme film ever. Not because I'm scared, just because it sounds kind of boring. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if I need to see that. I don't know. Maybe yeah. I do. Maybe one day.
All like, no, thank you.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
So if someone is curious about New French Extremity, what would you say were the essential films that people should check out? And the second part of that question, what are some of your favorite films of the subgenre?
So I actually think you did a killer job with the four films you programmed. If I had to pick four, those would be the four. And they're just a great introduction because not only are they some of the best and most interesting and some of my personal favorites, but I also think they touch into all those different levels and themes that I was talking about. So hopefully everyone there is able to see all of those four films because they are great. I would say, like, it's hard to say it's one of my favorites, but I think 29 Palms, if you're really interested, you should check that out. It is a great film. It deeply upsets me, and it's meant to. It like really fucked me up, really fucked me up. But I think it's brilliant, and I think it does what it intends to do. And that's exceptional. Another film, which I don't always hear talked about a lot, in these kind of settings, but one that I wrote about in my book and one that I am still thinking about is a film called Pola X. And that is more of a like really dark romance, like real dark, but it's quite beautiful and stunning and eerie. And then I also think Frontiers is another great horror film. Again, very indebted to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Eel or Them is great. I'm just gonna start naming all of them. So start with those and then, you know, work your way through the rest. They're all great. And then I would seriously advise if you wanna check out more, give the old, like, you know, an IMDb when they've got that brief summary at the top, like give that a little bit of a read because they might tip you off to some content warnings. Because again, these are very upsetting films.
Yeah, definitely. So your book, which again is called Films of the New French Extremity, is so well researched and covers a variety of films within the subgenre. What was that writing process like for you? And like, what was it like to immerse yourself in these kind of like challenging, extreme films?
Well, I wasn't very popular when I wrote it. Just like my friends didn't want to hang out with me because I was just watching these really like fucked up, sad French films and, researching a lot. So I just had to immerse myself and I just, you know, put my head down and did it. Like writing don't pay the bills. So I've always had a day job. So basically evenings, weekends, days off, for about a year, I worked on this bad boy right here. And then it was, you know, strange stuff. Like I realized as I was, you know, thinking about France, I was like, God, Ontario public education really failed me. And I basically had to teach myself French history. So unfortunately you can't see it, but behind me, one of those shelves of books is like basically two of those shelves are all the books I used to write this book that I had to buy. Two of them are textbooks about the history of France that I basically just sat and like went through to try to understand it. And so it was kind of like, it was like teaching a class to myself and then writing about it. That's kind of what it was like. And then, watching all these films, it's like, it's not that they become less effective, but you just become like kind of, it's like a womb, like a horrifying womb. You're just in it, and all of these like terrifying things are hugging you, and you're like, this feels nice. I remember when I was writing the book, I was living with some roommates and we're all really close friends, and they're all, you know, we'd all got invited to this other friend's wedding and in town in Toronto, and they were all going out, and I was like, I had to cancel. I got to stay home and like watch, you know, Chetan and watch Vincent Cassel fuck up some young people. And that's what they did that night. And I it's probably the right choice, I'm sure.
Oh, sure. So yeah, you mentioned that these films are like quite confrontational and can be like quite gruesome. What do you think the appeal is of The New French Extremity?
I think if you're a film lover, you want to experience it all. You want, and especially if you're a genre fan, I mean, come on, when someone says, this is the scariest movie ever made, you got to walk right up to that line. Like, I'm sure there's some real genre fans in the audience tonight, and I'm sure a few of you are like, I should watch that 29 Palms movie, which, yeah, but it might really fuck you up. I think there is, like, it almost feels a bit like a dare, you know, when we've heard so much about these films in so many different circles and contexts, it's like, well, I got to see this for myself. Like, I think Martyrs is much more well known than it, you know, people have actually seen it. And I think it's not always what people expect it to be. And it's a very, these are very personal films as well. And I think people take away very different things from them. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with people about these films over the years, and people respond very differently to them. And I think that's also part of it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the initial critical or audience reactions to New French Extremity films?
Yeah, I mean, people were real pissed off. You know, it angered people that filmmakers who had potential, when I talk about the art house stuff, that's your Gaspar Noé's, your Claire Denis, your Bruno Dumas, et cetera, Marine Devan, et cetera, et cetera. These filmmakers have potential. Why are they making, you know, films with like blood and guts in them? They wanted things that were different out of them. And none of these filmmakers backed down, and they just kept making the films that they wanted to make, that they felt that they needed to make. And that's always, you know, for all of them, you know, you're not going to tell Claire Denis what to do. Claire Denis is going to do what Claire Denis wants to do. And that, I think, is, you know, a testament to the importance of French cinema, that if you're going to, you know, laud these filmmakers in a certain way, you've got to accept what they put out to a certain extent, because they're probably going to say something really important. And then, you know, the French horror stuff was, you know, until recently, it was much more popular outside of France than it was within. And I think now with Julia Ducournau, that's starting to change, which I think is, again, fascinating and very interesting.
Yeah, on that note, you mentioned that the cycle lasted about 10 years. So from late 1990s to early 2000s or 2010s. Do you think that we're seeing similar threads or themes of the genre in more contemporary cinema?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I will say in the last year and a half, yeah, they're about, yeah, probably even a bit before that. But especially since the pandemic started, I've been asked to talk, do things like this or podcast appearances or, you know, various things I'm fortunate enough to be asked to do a lot more about New French Extremity than anything else I've done. And I think that is because we live in extreme fucking times. The last few years politically have been extreme. You know, New French Extremity came out of the rise of the white right wing politics in France, including some like real scary political parties that got very close to attaining power. If you want to look up really creepy political French families, I recommend checking out the Le Pen family, who are still active. But you know, now we have extreme politics. We are in the midst of a global pandemic. We have extreme weather. Things don't feel great right now. And there are elements to these films that I think speak to all of that. And I think, you know, we need more of that. And I think, you know, Julia Ducournau is a really fascinating filmmaker with, you know, she's got two films out right now. You know, Gaspar Noé's, and not his recent one, which I haven't seen yet, which I've heard is a much more like subtle film. But when he made Climax, like that is just like, that is like a nightmare trip into dance hell. Intentionally so, but it's an expression of, I think, the confusion and the fear that we have going on right now.
So I just have one last question. Where can people find your work?
You can find my stuff on my website. I think it's alexandrawest.ca. Or just check out my Twitter. I think it's linked there. I'm at ScareAlex on Twitter. You can find me talking more like this over on the podcast I co-host called Faculty of Horror. I've done an episode about New French Extremity. I've also done an episode about Eyes Without a Face and a ton of other stuff. So a ton of episodes to go through if you haven't checked it out already.
Cool. And are both of your books still available?
Yes. Yeah, they haven't pulled them from circulation yet. So
great. All right. I guess we can open it up. Does anyone have any questions or anything? Yes, you might have to speak up.
Can you talk about like the effects of like themes of queerness in New French Extremity? Like whether queerness as a theme has an effect on the genre, or maybe the genre has an effect on queerness in society?
Yeah. Sure, if I heard that, it was effects of queerness on the genre or the genre on queerness. And that's a fantastic question. And I think these films are quite queer. They're very queer. Like Martyrs is a very gay film. High Tension is a very gay film. There are other films that are... and, you know, have characters who are gay and, you know, parts of various communities. And sometimes it feels very intentional. I think like, you know, some of the stuff is, without giving too much, I don't want to say, because I don't want to give too much away in case people haven't seen the films. But sometimes it feels like this is so integral to the plot and it is so important. And then sometimes it's like the queerness just kind of overtakes the film. And I feel like the filmmakers were like, yeah, I know gay people will make these two people gay. And then those characters actually become far more important and their relationships tend to override a lot of things that were already happening in the film, you know, making it a much more fuller experience in several ways. You know, and you know, when I was talking about, you know, is Martyrs a misogynistic film? I think that is the question. Is High Tension a homophobic film? That gets lobbed at High Tension quite a lot. And I kind of had the sense of, you know, I always just try to do a gut check with myself when I finish a film. Do I feel like this thing is cool or not cool? That probably, you know, will tell me if a film is, you know, kind of problematic to a certain extent or not, but, you know, always being open to other, you know, readings of it. And every time I watched High Tension, I was like, I understand that Marie is gay and it's the, you know, kind of oppression and all of that going on within the film, but I didn't feel that it was homophobic. And but I was like, I'm a straight woman. I don't know what kind of race I have in the game. So when I was writing the chapter for the book, I basically was just pouring through a lot of stuff to kind of get different takes on it. And so I could incorporate a reading of it that, you know, at least spoke to it. Because if I can't, as a straight person, kind of, you know, bring something to the table, I wanted to ensure that I credited someone who is from the community, and actually found a dear friend, Stacey Ponder, most incredible writer, co-host Gaylords of Darkness, and she wrote an article that was basically actually, you know, High Tension is a queer hero film. Marie is the hero in her own mind, and you know, she made this wonderful argument about how that's not homophobic. So yeah, that's kind of where I pull that from. And I think, you know, just to go back to your question there, I don't know if every filmmaker really intended for these characters and their, you know, their, you know, sexual identities to have such a big part of the films. But I think when you, you know, watch the films, you can't help but read it through certain lenses. And especially like, I know Titan is going to be opening there on October 1st. And that movie is very queer. And I think very, very, very intentionally so. Hopefully that kind of answers your question. It's a big question.
Any other questions? I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Cool. Are you guys watching Martyrs now?
Yeah, Martyrs is playing next. We've already watched Trouble Every Day, Baysmois last night.
Amazing. Okay, well, you guys, like, I unfortunately cannot see your hands, but like some of you have seen it before. Are there people there who have not seen Martyrs before?
Oh, one.
Okay, everyone, like, it's COVID, so we're all like, just be socially distant and mindful, but like just send like love to the person who has not seen Martyrs, because I actually think it's a really beautiful movie with a really hopeful message, but it might take you a while to get there. Write it all about my book so you can buy that, but oh my gosh, enjoy.
Oh. Oh, yeah, thank you so much, and thank you everyone for coming out. This is really great.
Yeah.
powered by volunteer community involvement. This is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.